It's the Brady and the Bunch podcast, presented by 101.3 The Game.
Welcome back. It is the Brady and the Bunch podcast. Very, very excited for our next guest. Professional hockey player, plays in the ECHL with the Maine Mariners, but has local ties because he played his college hockey at Plattsburgh State. It's Dylan Fox. Dylan, how are you, man?
I'm great, Brady. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. You know, I went to Oswego. What's up with me being all friends with all these Plattsburgh guys? I'm now friends with Coach Emery, Mike Warren, who does some broadcasting at Plattsburgh State, now you. I feel like I've crossed enemy lines here.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, they're all good people over there, so it's probably easy to get along with those guys. I remember Mike, too, from my days at school, so glad to hear he's still doing well.
He's doing well as well. Did you, when you were at Plattsburgh, did you hate Oswego? Let's be honest. Did you hate Oswego?
I think, I think you have to, right? I don't know if hate was really, is really the best word, but those games always had, you know, a different feel to them. I'm sure you know from being there, being at a couple of them, but yeah, it was always came down to, you know, one of those, either the whiteout game or the one at Plattsburgh, you know, kind of for that spot. So they carried a lot of weight for sure.
What was the environment like on the ice of an Oswego-Plattsburgh game? Because I know what it was like as a fan. I know what it was like as being in campus media, how excited we got to put on those broadcasts. What was it like for you guys as players in that rivalry?
It was definitely different than any other game, that's for sure. I think, too, you know, when you're getting recruited to one of those other schools, you know, you do your research, and that's probably one of the first things that comes up. So you're kind of always looking forward to it. Yeah, it was a different feel. I mean, especially you go into Oswego and you go out for warm-ups and it's already jam-packed. You're like, all right, this one's going to be a little different than most. And then same at Plattsburgh, you walk into the rink and there's a line, you know, out the door. So you kind of know just entering the rink that night that it's going to be a little different for sure.
You know, you got the opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament while at Plattsburgh, but the NCAA tournament in Division III is different sometimes. It's played sometimes on spring break. The crowds aren't as big, even though it's the tournament. So how did those Oswego-Plattsburgh games compare to NCAA tournament environments?
I mean, it's right up there. I think when you look at a, you know, Oswego-Plattsburgh game and you're growing up and you kind of see, I mean, you're not watching Oswego-Plattsburgh, but you see some of those bigger schools, you know, some of those games on TV, it's got that same feel. I think it's the same, like when you're looking to play college hockey, it has everything that you want in a game, right? You know, the energy's there. It's right up there with some of the best, you know, Division I programs, some of the shows they put on. So, yeah, I think I was pretty lucky to kind of have that rivalry. And, you know, every year I was there, you know, two top-ranked teams. So that made it that much more special.
You know, what was it like playing for Coach Emery? Because he's become a friend of mine. He's become a friend of the show. He listens to the station a lot. He's moved on from Plattsburgh. Now he'll be coaching at Merrimack. What was it like playing for such a legend in Bob Emery?
It was great. I enjoyed my time with him. I know you and when you had Mike Keeley on, you guys were talking about how he seems, you know, pretty intense. He is. I mean, he's pretty intense. He's pretty much the same on the bench as he is, you know, in the locker room or at practice. So, I definitely was on the wrong end of those couple of those intense moments. But, you know, it made me better player. I think, you know, the tradition that he built there speaks for itself. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. And he, you know, he'd do anything for me now, too. So, you know, I was lucky to have him,
you know,
running it there.
I got to imagine that, look, maybe not every player responded well to someone who's so intense and so old school, but as you've gone on and played professional hockey now for multiple seasons, how much did playing for Bob prepare you for professional hockey?
Big time. I mean, I think his approach, which you don't really see. You see him on Friday and Saturday nights, and he wants to win. But his approach, you know, throughout the week is, you know, just as intense as those games. And, you know, Monday's another game. You know what I mean? Tuesday's another game. Every day at practice, you know, he's getting some out of it. He's getting some out of you. And, he definitely prepared me, because I think I, you know, saw just about every side of him when I was there. So not much I can't handle now, that's for sure.
What brought you to Plattsburgh in the first place?
I played junior like a lot of the guys do until I was 20. And you kind of have that, you know, you want to go, you're growing up, you definitely don't, you know, have Plattsburgh or, you know, one of those top D3 schools is like, oh, you know, I want to go there. And then as you're, you know, you kind of age out of junior and you get older, it forces you to kind of, you know, look at these other places and you're kind of blown away. Like, I was pretty blown away by, you know, because, you know, they don't get the exposure as some of these other, you know, big-time programs. But, yeah, so as I was aging out of junior, actually Coach Emery reached out, and I remember my coach in junior was like, I didn't know much about the Suniac. I grew up in, you know, Hershey, Pennsylvania. So my coach in junior was like, you're not playing this weekend. Like, you're going up there. Like, go check it out. You'll love it. So it's pretty easy once I went to a game and saw, you know, just how they ran things. And, yeah, I was lucky that, you know, I ended up there. I think you don't realize it till you're kind of, you know, like now that I'm done and I can look back, you know, I was even lucky enough to get an opportunity there. So, yeah, I just kind of was aging out and, Emery called, and I think his tradition there speaks for itself.
What's the grind like, or what, I don't know if it's a grind, what's the experience like of being a hockey player growing up? Because it's very, very different than a, you know, quote, traditional student. I mean, you're taking a couple of years off of school to play juniors and going into school at 20, and that, and sure, in some ways is cool, and in other ways it's probably a little bit challenging to be a 20-year-old freshman. And you're, a lot of times you guys are not playing high school hockey, you guys are playing in prep programs where you're leaving home at 15, 16. I mean, it's a different lifestyle for a hockey player.
Yeah, it's a lot different. I mean, I moved away, you know, at a young age. I moved away when I was 17, and then you have that, you know, everybody kind of assumes, you know, this big time player or whatever. And in reality, like, you have to do that to even go to Division III hockey. So it's hard to explain if you don't really, you know, understand it. But like, as you climb the ranks, you kind of see that's kind of what everybody has to do. And you know, you missed out on a lot, but you know, it's been 10 years since I've lived at home, and you know, I've seen a lot too, so wouldn't trade it for anything.
Now you're playing professionally, playing in the ECHL with the Maine Mariners. You're a couple steps away from the NHL. I got to ask you, do you see it as a realistic outcome for you to make it to the NHL, or are you still playing just because you love hockey?
I mean, it's every year there's another group of guys coming up, right? But I, at this point, I'm just trying to keep climbing. I think, you know, last year was a huge year for me, and you know, to kind of have the success I did in Maine and have such a good opportunity there, you know, it keeps you optimistic. And I think as long as I'm still optimistic about, you know, how I'm playing and, you know, can see me keep climbing, you know, I'll keep doing it. So
I'm completely naive to this, so I'm going to ask, and maybe I'm totally wrong, but I can't imagine that somebody playing in the ECHL is making enough money to only be a professional hockey player. Do you have to have another job, or can you do it enough, or do you make enough to just be a professional hockey player?
I mean, there are definitely some guys that do. I'll tell you that I'm not one of them, but mostly a lot of the guys that you know on my team or that I play with, they'll do okay. They could probably do a couple hockey camps in the summer, but Yeah, I mean, as long as you're not, you know, getting bottle service every night, you'll probably you'll be okay.
Who's the best player that you've had an opportunity to play against at the professional ranks? I mean, have you seen some young studs coming up? Have you seen some guys that have been in the NHL or on their way down? Who are the people that you've got a chance to play against?
Not like too many big names. There's there was a guy this past year that played in Newfoundland. He was a defenseman, and he had, you know, over 400 some NHL games. He's kind of towards the end of his career, but you know, it was pretty wild playing against, you know, like a name you recognize, right? So, but no, it's the funniest thing for me, you know, being like playing at Plattsburgh and kind of having a different route than everybody else, is, you know, there's guys on my team that, you know, they got their name called, like their draft year, you know, they got drafted in the NHL, right? And I'm, you know, going to Fredonia to play a game. It's different. That's my biggest thing, I think, is weird, is just the different routes that you go. And now, like, you know, you're like pretty much equal as these guys, playing with them every night. And, you know, just some of the stories they have where the guys they played with or against are way different than the guys that I have. So, you know, it's just funny how it comes full circle like that.
Now, you just turned 28 years old earlier this summer. Are you the elder statesman of your team?
Yes, I am definitely one of the older guys. It was weird because as an expansion team last year, they're a lot younger than most of the teams in the league. So the year before, I played a little bit in Reading, and, you know, I was kind of middle of the pack. And then I came into Maine, and, you know, you're trying to have your spot, you know, or like, you know, earn your spot, and you're 3-4 years older than most of the guys. It's a little odd, but no, they were going through kind of their rookie year too, so it was kind of easy to come in, and no one really had you know, earned too much yet. So you're all kind of in the same boat. So I think it actually ended up working out for me.
It's really, honestly, it's kind of confusing even in hockey, and basketball is the same way when we talk about the G League versus the NBA, we talk about the AHL, ECHL, and NHL. So there are team affiliates, right? Like the Maine Mariners are a New York Rangers affiliate, if I'm not mistaken, but not everybody who plays for the Maine Mariners is what we would call a New York Rangers farmhand. So like, how does it work exactly?
Yeah, so a lot of, you won't see many NHL contracted players in the ECHL. I mean, you'll see maybe a young kid that's, you know, played major junior. He didn't really do the college route, but was drafted, and, you know, they signed him, and he just has to develop a little bit more. And, you know, in the ECHL, there's three lines, so you're playing. Like, if you're there, it's not like college where you might have a roster of 30 guys and that whole week of practice you're kind of battling for a roster spot. In the ECHL, it's if you're there with the team, you're going to play. Wow. You're expected to play, and you know, you're playing every other night. So those guys will get a lot of time. But mostly it's AHL contracted guys that, you know, the Hartford Wolfpack will sign. And they'll come down and, you know, kind of get the reps they need. But for me, myself, I'm on a ECHL contract. So if I was to get called up, I wouldn't have to go just to Hartford or a New York Rangers affiliate. It could be really anywhere.
So that just means
it is confusing. Like, even me, like, thinking about it, like, I can think about it, but to explain it is tough. For sure.
So you go out and play really, really well for a week, and the Vancouver Canucks say, "Hey, we like this Dylan Fox kid." They can just sign you and pull you up to their AHL affiliate. That's how it works.
Yeah. So actually, my two roommates this year were in Maine, were kind of in that same situation. I had a goalie who I lived with, and he got caught up to the Montreal Canadiens AHL team. And then they actually signed him to an AHL deal and sent him back down. So they're pretty much just protecting his rights that, all right, so if we sign him, we can call him up only to hear. Like, he's not going to go anywhere else.
Well,
but for me, I'm kind of a free agent in the AHL. So anybody wants me, yeah, they can call me up.
It is definitely confusing. What is the decision-making? You mentioned you keep coming back because you have hope, but what's the decision-making that go into every season where you just kind of sit down and evaluate, okay, is it worth it to keep going? Or have you not gotten to that point yet? It's always just been a given, okay, I'm playing this year.
When I first came out of college, I played in the Southern Professional League for two seasons, and even that, I was like, oh, nice, I want to do well, like, hopefully I can get a spot, and then, you know, I kind of did well there, and then got a call up to the ECHL, and I've done well there, so it's always that kind of, well, man, like, I did well, I think I can do even more well, so I think until I lose that, I'll probably know, but like right now, I always feel like there's more that I can do, and it's just hard to walk away with that.
What would you
on the table? I feel like.
What would you be doing if you weren't playing hockey?
I don't know. Probably, I get asked that quite a bit. Probably coaching somewhere. I don't know. I probably would have to call Bob and see if he could make a phone call for me somewhere. But no, a lot of the guys that I played at Plattsburgh with, are coaching or doing something. So probably just right around the same thing, stay in the game a little bit.
Did you ever have anybody tell you, or have you had anybody tell you, like, hey, man, you're 28 years old, you're at the ECHL level. Like, have you had people tell you you should give it up, and you've had to tell them, no, I'm going to keep going. I'll go when I want to go. But have you had people doubt you like that?
Not really. I think kind of this year was my first real good shot at producing at the ECHL level. So I mean, even though I am older than most of the guys on my team, I think there's still he finally got a shot. Let's see if we can kind of keep see where this goes, and pretty much the same with the same mindset I have. So not really. My parents are huge fans. Like, everybody around town kind of it's funny because they kind of hype me up a little bit more than they probably should, which I don't know how good that is for me, but I haven't really gotten that yet, and well, maybe next summer I'll start getting that. We'll see.
Well, I only asked that question not to be a jerk, but because for some perspective, my co-host on the afternoon show, his son is playing ACHA hockey at Kent State, and he has the mindset that his kid's a goaltender. He has the mindset that his kid can make it to the NHL, and people are always telling him, "Dude, he's playing ACHA hockey. He's not going to make it." And he's like, "Nope, I need one person only to tell me he's got a shot. And then if one person says he's got a shot, then I'm going to believe it." So I just was wondering if you've had people doubt you. That's why I asked that question.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're fine. Obviously, with my age, I do think about that sometimes, but like I said, I feel great still. And, I still feel like there's a lot I can do. So until I don't have that, I think anybody that is doubting me, I probably wouldn't really listen to.
Well, it's interesting, too, because, again, you're 28, and we're very close to the same age. I'm 29. I'll be 30 later this year, and I played college baseball at Oswego. And I started thinking to myself, and I still play, not professionally, on Weekend Warrior, Green Mountain Men's League, what's up? So still play there. But I just think to myself, I don't know at what age I stopped getting better. And I started thinking to myself, look, I don't throw as hard as I did 2 years ago or as hard as I did 4 years ago. And I'm getting by now on mental makeup and just what I've learned about the game more so than physical skills. Like, how much as you get older, are you still improving?
I think all the time. I think it's very, especially in the summer and at this level, like you said, don't have that salary, right, to maybe have that trainer all the time or that. So you're kind of you know, you have that anxiety a little bit each summer where it's like, I got to keep getting better, but it's more like on your own terms, right? So
yeah.
A lot of, I've been fortunate enough to stay in Portland with a couple of the guys that I played with on Maine this year. And yeah, as long as you, you know, can still strap them, there's like some days where you're like, oh boy, I got a lot of work to do before the season starts. But for most of the days, it's just, you've been doing it long enough where you can kind of tell, and you can keep yourself in check. But yeah, it's pretty, that's 90% of the game now, I'd say. It's just the off ice stuff. So as long as you're sticking with that, I think you'll, keep progressing.
I had somebody tell me once who played professional sports that at about age 27 or 28 was their perfect sweet spot of where their physical ability was at the best, but they also had the best mental ability. Do you feel that way now? Like, do you feel like you've got, okay, I'm at my best physical condition, but I've also played the game long enough that I know the most? Like, do you feel like you're at the sweet spot of your age right now in your career?
Yeah, I feel great. It's funny how, you know, it's crazy that I'm 28. Like, I don't even, that's wild to think about. But, I feel good. It's funny, like, in season is when you feel the best, when you're just playing, you know, like there's so many games in the UCHL, like there's 72 games. So, and with the travel and everything, you don't really have much downtime to, you know, doubt yourself or not feel like you're going out on the ice and you're in shape, right? Because you're playing all the time. And I think that's the easiest thing. You know, the more games that you're doing, the less thinking, you're just kind of playing, and that's where it's been easiest for me. I felt great this past year. It's hopefully I still feel great next summer, but it's funny you say that, because this was probably my best year.
Well, I've had plenty of athletes who play professionally say that, like, when they get home, they want nothing to do with the sport. So they'll say, look, I play baseball, I play basketball, I play football, I play hockey, but I don't watch it because I need a little bit of a break from it. Do you find yourself in that boat, or do you try to consume as much hockey as you can? Like, will you watch, hey, we got junior tournaments in the summer, we got Olympic hockey in February, you know, when it comes around. Will you watch hockey in your free time, or do you need a break from it too?
I really don't watch that much. I think that's probably the best way to put it, is once I leave the rink, I'm good with it. I don't think people really understand how much you're around it. Like, we were talking the other day, because a bunch of us were skating in the summer, about how weird it is to think you put this equipment on every day for 6 months, right? Like, you don't even think about it when you're in it, but when you're in the middle of the season, you have, you know, you're at the rink twice a day, most days, you know, and it's nice to get away from it. I think some of the younger guys maybe that are, still, this is their first year pro, or they're, you know, still really hungry to develop or do those things, you know, they might be able to handle a little bit more of the game, but, yeah, if there's a game on or something, maybe I'll check it out. But I'm not really, you know, too worried about what's going on outside of, you know, my own league or, you know, what I can't control, really.
Growing up, who did you follow?
I was a big Flyers fan. So Hershey's right in central PA. We have the Hershey Bears AHL team. That's kind of one of the more storied franchises, I'd say, in all of hockey. So I got kind of lucky there, but... Yeah, I was a big-time Flyers fan, and it's funny now because Danny Briere is our general manager of the Maine Mariners, so it's kind of weird to have him just talk to me about, or, you know, just talk to me like I'm any other person, so I got to kind of keep myself in check around him, but... Yeah, huge Flyers fan growing up.
All right, I got a couple. I told you, I'm naive about hockey. I never played it. I just watch it. But I got a couple basic questions I need to know the answers to.
Yeah,
so,
all right.
Why do hockey players warm up every game? It's either hacky sack or soccer balls. What is the fascination with it?
I've always kind of wondered that as well. I'm not sure you know, where that got started. But it's funny, any team that you go on, like, you know, I've been on five teams in the last couple seasons, and you step into that soccer game before, and everybody knows it's the same rules, like, universally. Like, so I feel like everybody does it, but I don't really get the where that started or why, but, you know, those games can get pretty intense too. So maybe that's just why, to get the juices going a little bit.
If I stepped into hockey skates right now, my ankles would be sore for a week. Like, how do your ankles feel at the end of a season?
Your feet all together just are in shambles most of the time. We were talking about the other day about how somebody should do like a study where you have like a young kid and just every year you take a picture like of how his feet are just holding up, because you're jamming them in those skates and not I guess your foot just kind of gets used to it, but no, I can't imagine. There's times in the summer where I'll do camps, you know, and for, you know, a month I haven't put my skates on, and then you do it for a week and you're like, how do I do this? But your feet take a beating. I think now I'm kind of just blind to it, but I think that part goes unnoticed for sure.
How long does it take to get the hockey equipment clean? Because every hockey locker room I've ever been in, I have to leave instantly. It smells so bad. How long does it take to get the equipment cleaned?
It doesn't. You just, like, I have my equipment in my car right now, and it's just, I think I'm like, they have those commercials, like the Febreze commercials, yeah, where you're nose blind. I think that I'm easily nose blind to it. But during the year, the equipment guys are pretty good at keeping everything nice. It's in the summer where you're, you're like, wow, I didn't realize how much those equipment guys really do to keep my gear nice.
I can picture you guys like going through like with dryer sheets in your skates all game long. I can just like picture that happening.
Yeah, it's funny too. When you're growing up, you just kind of deal with it. And then nowadays, like, there's so much stuff. Like, if anything's on your, like, any of your gear's wet or anything, like, you notice it right away. I guess you get kind of pampered once you're playing pro. But, it's definitely stinky. If you're not used to it, you're going to notice it right away.
What's this is a question that I just have to know the answer to. How do you handle the pregame bathroom schedule? Because I'm just thinking, all this equipment, you got your pads are generally taped onto your legs. And what I just picture a world where you get all this dressed, that you get ready, you go out for pregame skate, first period happens, and you've got to pee. I don't even know what happens then.
Well, if you're on the bench, you just got to sweat it out. But usually you time them pretty well. I think you get down to a routine. Most hockey players are very like superstitious, so you usually just get down to a routine and kind of get used to it.
What's up with the accents? Because you're from Hershey, Pennsylvania. You sound like you're from Ontario. Every hockey player that's American sounds like they're from Ontario. Where does the hockey accent come from?
Everybody's got one, I think. Anywhere you put, like, I mean, I did play a year junior, like, right outside Toronto, so maybe I picked it up there. But now Plattsburgh had a bunch of Canadian guys too, so those guys talk a lot, so maybe that's what it is.
What's it like playing outside on a frozen pond? You hear the stories about kids growing up playing outside, playing on the pond in their backyard, or playing at the lake when it freezes over. And we host a hockey tournament every year on frozen Lake Champlain. It's one of my favorite events of the year. And since I barely can skate, I've never gotten the experience of doing it. So what's it like playing on a frozen pond growing up?
It's awesome. I mean, I think hockey players have it tough where, you know, you can't just go to the park. Like, if you're a basketball player, you can go to the park and, like, shoot hoops, or, you know what I mean? So it's that one time where you're kind of like, wow, I can st- stay out here as long as I want, or, you know, I can, you know, this is just free for me to do. So I think that's pretty special, kind of maybe getting some buddies that, you know, don't really play out there, you know, that type of stuff. But actually, I mean, where I grew up, I didn't really have too much of that. When I was at Plattsburgh, there would be certain days where we would go out and do that. But I was always kind of worried that like the ice wasn't thick enough. So as long as you're not too much of a wuss like myself, it's usually pretty fun. But once I'm done playing, I actually am really excited to do one of those tournaments and kind of get some of my old buddies I played with and have them lace them up again.
What do you think about, let me see how I want to ask this question. I'm trying to think. Oh, fighting in hockey. Because we end up with this debate at least once every year, it feels like. And the hockey purists are like, no, you need to have fighting because it keeps the game in line. And other people are like, no, it's dangerous. No, you're going to get hurt. No, we don't need you to get suspended, etc. Where do you stand on fighting in hockey in terms of its importance?
I love it. I think, I'm not really the one out there going toe-to-toe most of the time. So I'm not going to sit here and say we don't need it because I'm not the one doing it. I have a lot of respect for those guys that do it. And I think outside of just two guys, like, fighting the fight, I think what a lot of the hockey fans don't know is it can change, like, the outcome of a game. You know, if you're down early, like, 2-0 and, you know, someone on your team fights, you know, kind of gets the bench going, I think that's the side that a lot of the people don't really look at, is it has an outcome on the game, whether, you know, whether someone gets knocked out or it's an even fight, it has an outcome on the game. And I think a lot of the guys that do it, you know, have a lot of pride in it. And it goes a long way. Just team camaraderie, I think, is one thing that a lot of the people outside of the game don't really see. So I love it. I keep it in there. As long as I'm not the one getting punched, I'm all for it.
You know, we saw Zdeno Chara in the Stanley Cup Finals break his jaw taking a blocked shot. And every time I watch hockey, I'm like, how is this guy not wearing a full cage? Like in college hockey, you have to wear the full cage. It can be the cage or it can be the clear mask. And I think in a lot of professional leagues, you have to have at least the face shield. But I'm wondering, how are some of these guys not wearing the full bubble when they play? Like, why do people not all of them do it?
Yeah, I don't know it's kind of crazy. I think though, it's funny, the college hockey is crazy. Like, it is, you're playing, I mean, especially in Division III, you play 30 games a year if you're a good team, and that's it. Like, you have 30 nights, so everybody, like, that night, that game is the most important game of the season. And I think when you have a full face shield on, you're kind of invincible. So, you know, when you're, like, since playing pro, the game kind of slows down a little bit. I think it's more structured in a way, and I think it has, in my opinion, it has a lot to do with that. You know, you don't have that that full face shield on, that invincible feeling where, you know, you could get hit. But it's actually funny, the only time I ever lost any teeth was in college, so maybe it was good I got rid of the cage.
Well, you know, the only arguments I've heard against the bubble, and again, I'm hockey naive, so I'll just ask you, is that people who play hockey at a high level say that the bubble or the face shield restricts their vision to the side. Like, can you not see well with it on?
No, you can see everything. I think I've put on, like, a football helmet before. I don't know how guys see in those things. You have no, like, peripheral vision in those things. And but no, you could see everything. They've come a long way with all that stuff. So
how about it fogging? How about it fogging up? That was the only other thing that I heard why someone wouldn't want to wear it, that it fogs up.
Yeah, that's tough. I think but nowadays too, they even have spray and stuff that you as long as you stay on top of it, yeah, it won't fog up on you too much. I don't know about, I mean, and when you're in Plattsburgh or in the Suniac, it's negative degrees most places, so I don't know why it's fogging up anyway.
Dylan, we'll get you out of here on a couple quick kind of rapid-fire questions. When you left Plattsburgh, what's the thing you missed the most?
That's crazy. Honestly, I think like college hockey altogether, like you have that, you know, I was lucky where I had eight other guys that I graduated with. And, you know, we all lived together. We all kind of had that same schedule, you know, for 4 years. So I think having just that like brotherhood kind of where everyone's bought into the same thing. I mean, it is there in pro hockey, but you know, your roster is changing so much that it's hard to kind of have that for that group of guys there for that many years. So I'd say that that for me was what I missed the most.
If you were going back to Plattsburgh, it's alumni weekend. You can go to eat at one place. What's it going to be?
One place. I don't know. Maybe I'd try and get one of the guys that that still goes there to get me into a dining hall or something. anywhere downtown. I think people don't really realize how nice Plattsburgh is. That's my biggest thing. Like, it's a small little town, but you know, some of those places downtown are pretty nice. That strip they have there. So maybe I'll pick up a Michigan somewhere though, for sure.
If you can get a beer at one place in Plattsburgh, where are you going?
I like Olive Ridley's. That was my spot. Usually, when the family would come to town after a game or something, we'd head down there. And then, yeah, me and the guys definitely had a couple long nights there, for sure.
Dylan Fox, Brady and the Bunch podcast, professional hockey player in the ECHL with the Maine Mariners, played 4 years at Plattsburgh, helped get the Cardinals to an NCAA tournament, a bunch of 20-win seasons there as well. Dylan, man, we appreciate it. We appreciate the time, the perspective, the stories, the memories, and we wish you good luck as you continue on into another season.
Oh, awesome, Brady. This was great. Thanks for having me.